You can open your Bibles to Numbers 16. I'm glad I'm preaching this message today and not a few days ago. I'm afraid a few days ago would have consisted of a few imprecatory prayers and a political rant. I am so tired of bullies like Vladimir Putin. I hope you are too. I hope the whole world is tired of bullies like Vladimir Putin. I hope the Russian people have had their fill of bullies like Vladimir Putin. I'm praying for them. I'm praying, as Brother Isaac said, for the gospel to have access to Russia. This is not the world against the Russian people. This is pray for the Ukraine. Pray for the gospel to have free access. And so I thought, well, I don't want to rehash the news. I don't want to tell you what you already know. I do want you to pray, though, and I want you to focus on what we should do now, what Christians should do now. I could preach this message in the Ukraine. I pray I would do that. I could preach this message in Russia. I could preach this in Europe or South America or Africa. I could preach this anywhere in the world and still be true. Numbers 16, verse 46. You can read there with me. Backstory here. I'm sure you're avidly reading with me through the book of Numbers each day. It's probably one of your favorite books in the Bible. But just backstory here. Children of Israel have murmured and grumbled. I'm sure you're shocked. That's what the whole book is about. That's not the message. That's the backstory of the book. There's a lot of gospel in it. There, the gospel by the numbers. But the backstory is every turn, every day, the children of Israel find some reason to disobey, sometimes deliberately so. In this passage, people jostling because they didn't want the Levitical priesthood to have custody of the sacrifices, and we're God's children too, and paying no attention to what God says, and just do what they want, and then terrible consequences come. Judgment comes, and it's not like God has not been chastising them right along, but they have to be some of the most hard-headed, most stiff-necked, quarrelsome, grumbling people I've ever read about in the Bible. And the Bible says, God wrote this so we would be warned. I don't know what that tells us about us. I don't suppose we're ever stiff-necked or hard-hearted or hard-headed or quarrelsome or grumbling. But if it happens, boy, this would be a book to read. But the judgment comes. In this particular judgment, a plague is chastising the people. Verse 46, Numbers 16. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Notice he stood between the dead and the living. He stood between the dead and the living. I want to preach to you this morning, standing between the living and the dead. Father, I also pray you would give me unction and give me the ability to preach the message you put in my heart. Give hearers the ears to hear and hearts to heed. Father, if someone here doesn't know Christ, they're spiritually dead. I pray the Holy Spirit would use the gospel to quicken them and bring them to life in Christ, in faith, and repentance. And Father, I pray that you would help Christians to understand what a solemn task, what a tremendous privilege it is to stand where Aaron stood. To be used of God to stand somewhere between the living and the dead. I pray these things in Jesus' name, who is the King of death, hell, and the grave, the conqueror of all our enemies, the greatest enemy, which is death, and he's defeated it. And we have life, eternal life, and everlasting fellowship with you because of Jesus Christ. And thank you that once upon a time, Jesus himself stood between the living and the dead. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Aaron is always in the shadow, sometimes in the shadow. Not often do we notice him as the hero of the piece. He is the high priest, and of course he had his role in his ministry. But here, he is the one who actually is blessed to be the messenger, the bearer of good news, if you will. The people have sinned. They have willfully and deliberately disobeyed God. And yet, there is a sacrifice that can be made to help them. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. So even these people are sinners, and God shows mercy, and God allows an atonement to be made, a sacrifice to be made. And Aaron takes that, and he makes the atonement, and literally, where he makes the atonement is the dividing line. It's the boundary line. It's the place between the living and the dead. On the one side, you have the dead. On the other side, you have the living. I'll take note of this. The ones who are living have no one to thank but God. They could not say that they had even repented or that they had made things right. It's just the sheer mercy of God that this man is alive and this man is dead. The man living, he has no one to thank but God, and to thank God for mercy. I think about that in my life. I have no one to thank for my salvation except God alone. Oh, I know God used messengers. I know He used Sunday school teachers and preachers and people that prayed for me and told me about Jesus. But when I got saved, I was saved by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I was rescued from spiritual death. It's taken me a lifetime to unpack everything Jesus did for me when He saved me, and I didn't deserve any of it. I didn't earn it. I didn't buy it. I didn't inherit it. I didn't come upon it because I was born in America or born in a Christian family, or I was just a sinner. And I was dead in trespasses and sins. And there came a time when Jesus Christ saved me by grace, through faith in His shed blood. And so, the Bible uses spiritual death as a description of what it is to be without Christ. And also uses physical death as a warning about what happens when the wages of sin come due. The wages of sin is death. God told Adam and Eve that when they sinned, they would die. They began to die physically. They eventually died physically. But they were also spiritually separated from God. And unless God does something, that's where you'll remain. That's where you'll be. But I want us to be challenged today. I want us to be encouraged today. I think if those Ukrainian Christians, if those in harm's way, those who may have to be exploring every opportunity about how will we serve God if we lose our freedoms. Already many of them have difficulty finding food, their bank accounts, who knows, people lined up to see, well, could you get money out of an ATM, or is there money in the banks? Have the banks been seized? What will happen to... And is their house still standing? How long will it stand? The hospitals? I just can't fathom what it's like to have your entire world just turned upside down and smashed like that in a matter of hours. And I just can't fathom it. But I just so admire those who have spoken and said, this is where we are, and this is where we'll stand. And we will trust the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know if I got it in here or not, but I pray I do. I pray you do. I pray you got that kind of faith. I pray there are Christians in America that would stand and deliver. Stand between the living and the dead. Because the ultimate need of the Ukraine is the gospel. Oh, do they need a political solution? Do they need benevolence? Do they need aid? Yes, of course. But the greatest need of Ukrainians today is the gospel. Because it's appointed man wants to die. And we don't know when that is. You see, most of us like to think that it comes when we're 120. Or comes after some long illness or some long road that we see coming. The fact of the matter is, there's a step between us and death. I'm not being deliberately morbid here, but I'm saying we should be thankful that we have life and breath.
Amen.
That in Him we move and have our being. I breathe at His mercy. My heart beats at His command. I am a steward of it, and I'm responsible for my actions, but I don't ultimately have any control over that appointment. I don't make that appointment. I will certainly keep it, because God makes that appointment. But those Ukrainians, think of those Christians literally standing between the living and the dead right now. Those who have died did not deserve this faith, if you mean politically or judicially or legally. Those Ukrainians that have been killed, put in harm's way by this aggression, by this unprovoked, no justification. This cannot be a just war from the standpoint of Vladimir Putin. It cannot be excused. I don't care where your politics are. I don't care what your view of the world is. Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine is a wicked, wicked thing. And these Christians literally stand between the living and the dead. The attacks have really been scattered all over the country. There have been some concentrated in the east, but really there have been assaults all over the country. And there they stand. There they stand with nothing but their faith, standing between the living and the dead. So what should we do? You say, well, we're praying for them. We're praying for them. Our hearts are touched by their plight, by our hearts give thanks that, oh, I'm thankful I woke up this morning in a free country. No question about would we be able to gather for church today if would the authorities be watching our building? Would the violence of war taken away some of our people or some of our buildings? Or would we have to meet? No thought about it, except I did think about it. Would we gather? Would we gather somewhere? Would we stand together and say, you know, we've lost our homes, and we've lost our wealth, and we've lost our material, but we still have the gospel?
Amen.
If I was taken, would one of you stand up and say,
Amen.
Yaroslav is that young man you saw in the picture. He said, what will you do? He said, well, he's the president of the Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary. He said, we'll go underground. We had that under the Soviet Union. The church did not forget what it means to be persecuted. We will rearrange. We organize and do what we always do. Preach the gospel.
Amen.
My message is, when you're standing between the living and the dead, spiritually, and that still dwarfs standing between the living and the dead physically, that's serious business. I stood by the bedside of those who were dying. I've gone to homes when their loved ones have passed. I know a little bit about standing between. It's a hard thing. But oh, that we would have that kind of compassion for those who are dead in trespasses and sins. What do we do? Number one, buckle up. This is where it gets real. So what do we do? Stand around, sob, cry, and whine? No. I think I'm done with that right now. Right now, I think I'm done with that. I'm telling myself I'm done with that part. I hope I am. Number one, what should we do? What should the Addison Baptist Church do? What should Christians in America do? Number one, let us gather more. By that I mean gather together more. I also think it could mean gather more. Let's gather together more. Let's go to Sunday school and church. Let's go to Sunday night. Let's be here Wednesday night. God being our helper, let's start having some more fellowship meals. I wouldn't be offended if we did it every Sunday. No. You say, that's because you don't do any of the work, preacher. That's because you just show up and eat. You got a point there. You got a good point there. Maybe you ought to rethink that. But let's gather more. We need to gather more. Why? We're allowed to do it. Now, I know people are providentially hindered. I got that. But if you're not providentially hindered, we need to gather more. We need to get together more. Why? I mean, nobody stopping us. Nobody hindering us. Nobody threatening our lives. We're standing between the living and the dead, and we're allowed to do whatever we want to do for the gospel. Let's gather more. Let's go to church. Let's get up on Sunday and go to church. Let's get other people to come with us. Yeah. You think, well, the gospel is supposed to go to them. I know that. But won't hurt them to come to church. You bring them to church. You can invite them to church. They'll hear the gospel here. They'll hear the gospel here at Sunday school. They'll hear the gospel here in the worship. They'll hear the gospel here on Sunday night. They'll hear the gospel on ABC Cadets or ABC Kids. They'll hear the gospel here. Let's gather more. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. I know COVID's been a hindrance. I know it continues to be a hindrance to some, but let's gather more. I think the Ukrainian Christians would want us to do that. Don't forsake the ministries that you have. It's time to relaunch the choir. It's time to relaunch the breakfast room. It's time to relaunch some ministry. It's time to... I'm just saying it's time.
Amen.
I don't know a lot. I know. But if we don't start now, I'm not sure we ever will. I really don't. Because if we're waiting, I don't know if we're waiting for that chipmunk to see a shadow or whatever. Brother Jen saw another groundhog today. Bad news. It's like, if that's what we're waiting for, keep on teasing me. I said, don't shoot it, Jen. Don't shoot it. He did not have a gun or anything. What if we're waiting for some chipmunk to see its shadow or not? Or we're waiting for some final announcement from the CDC or... Good grief. Let's just be done with it and do what we can. Now, I'm not saying that you should take any physical risk of your health. And I understand masking. I understand medical care. I got it. Be careful. You absolutely look both ways before you cross the street. Buckle up when you get in your car. I'm for it. All right? So don't think I've gone hard-hearted or crazy. But let's gather more. I think it's time to be done with this cloistered ostracism imposed upon well-intentioned or unintentioned medical community that can't even agree with itself. I'm sorry, but we've done all that. We've paid our dues here. We've done our due diligence here. We've hit the marks. We got hand sanitizer on every shelf. And I don't think that should stop, by the way. But let's gather more. Church, let's gather more. Thanks for coming out on Sunday night at 5 o'clock. I know you don't like to come when it's daylight, but I got you there. Well, it's better. We get out of church sometimes and it's still light. That's a good thing. I love the daylight. The older I get, the more I like the daylight. I said, well, you didn't care about that 10 years ago. That's because I didn't have cataracts 10 years ago. So go figure that. They're not ripe yet, by the way. I'm not ignoring them. I'm waiting for the crop to come in. So anyway, let's gather more. Number two, let's glorify God more. I had to tone this down a little bit because Sister Karen did sing this morning. I was going to rant and rave about not having special music. I can't do that now because she sang this morning. But, which was beautiful, by the way. I'm not trying to flatter her. I'm just saying, you don't know how that ministers to my heart. That was a great song, by the way. A great message. If you were listening. Let's glorify God more. Let's sing the Scriptures and pray the Scriptures and listen to the Scriptures and study the Scriptures. Let's glorify God more. Say, well, you know, there's all kinds of problems in politics and economics. There's always been problems. I'm not making light of this current crisis in the Ukraine, but I'm saying this is not a new thing. All my lifetime, I've watched Russia and the petty tyrants of a dozen different nations rattle their sabers and destroy their neighbors and destroy their own people. Old Saddam Hussein didn't care if you were an Iraqi or not. He would kill you if the sun fell across his face because of your shadow. That's the kind of guy he was. Say, how do you know that? Because I read. Talk about a scoundrel. I commend President Obama for tracking him down. My point is, whatever they do. I'm not sure why you brought that up. But anyway, let's glorify God more. The blessings of the gospel, the blessings of grace, the blessings of the book we have, the Bible. The fellows, let's glorify God. Let's praise Him more. Let the first word that comes out of our mouth be praises and not plaintiffs. We've all got complaints. If anything, the book of Numbers should say, you know, let's praise God before we list our problems. Let's praise first, problems second or third. Praise God, pray for others, and then mention our problems. How about that for a work order? Maybe that. Maybe God's glory first, others' needs second, and us last. I'm not saying you shouldn't tell us what your needs are or what my needs are. I understand I'm venting this morning. I'm honest enough to admit it. My point is, let's glorify God more. You know what? I see world events. I see national events. I see, you know what? Praise God for the gospel. Amen. Praise God for the church. Praise God for God's people. Gary's trying to send the offerings you gave to help with the tornadoes and make up the right place. And what he counted as Samaritan's First example, they're involved in so many things. I was like, well, there's this thing we're doing up in Eastern Kentucky, and there's this thing that's like, and I'm thinking, it's a little bit confusing, but it's like, you know what the good news is? There's a whole lot going on, good things going on, people going on. Samaritan's Purse has got boots on the ground in Europe already, trying to see how they and others can help the refugees and what they'll need to do. And my goodness, praise God for ministers like that.
Amen.
Praise God that we have the wherewithal to do that. Let's keep sending our light out through our missionaries and praying for our missionaries and scattered around the globe. Kenya, France, or Brazil, or Australia, where, Papua New Guinea, wherever they are, let's glorify God more. Thankful for those missionaries. Let the glory of the Lord shine through. The Bible says, unto Him be glory in the church. You know, one of the blessings that comes just from gathering is it brings glory to God. Let's glorify God more. Number three, let's go more. What I mean by that, I mean, I could mean missions. I think that's true. I think I will use it for missions. But also, I think it's true for across the street, the neighborhood. It's time to canvas the neighborhoods again. It's time to door knock. It's time to get out. Now, in Addison, there's some real good tools we have. You could just go camp down at the playground. The kids will eventually show up. You could go sit outside the post office. Everybody in Addison eventually shows up at the post office. They have to come there. You don't get your mail if you don't go to the post office. I think we ought to do, we ought to go down there and give away free coffee. Camp out there somewhere and give out free coffee and donuts. Or fruit, if it's acceptable for their diet. Whatever. What? You say, well, why don't we do that? Yeah, we could do that. We could. Say, well, I don't really comfortable going and knocking on their door. How about just asking permission to stand on the corner there and give them some free coffee and invite them to church? We need whatever. You say, you haven't thought this through. Oh, yes, I have. I have thought this through. We need to go more. We need to reach out more. The exercise will be good. It's good exercise. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, how about your phone? Is your phone broken? Got some people you can call? Got some social media posts? We put things up on social media. You know how to share them? You know how to share them? You know how to send them in Messenger? You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't worry about it. I'm talking to you. You know how to send something in Messenger? I send an attachment. You have send an event to somebody on Facebook. How about that? You don't even have to leave your house. No, it's amazing. You can talk to people anywhere at any time. Let's go more. Let's go more. I'm glad we can gather, but we're only supposed to gather here to charge our batteries and encourage each other and provoke each other to good works, and then we go.
Amen.
The mission field's out there.
Yeah.
Right? That's pretty simple. Let's gather more. Let's glorify God more. Let's go more. Number four. You thought I'd skip this. No. Let's give more. You say, preacher, I'm tapped out. Well, how about somebody else? I'm not talking to you. No, whatever. You say, I'm giving 110%. Not sure how that works, but you say, are you talking about money now? Are you talking about energy? Yes. I didn't mean to talk about attention. I'm talking about money. You know what? You know what missions, you know what dedication is about when missionaries are going around visiting churches? You know what one of the intrinsic factors of that is? Money. I'm sorry to shock you about that. Sorry. What? It's about money? Yeah, it's about raising money. It's about raising money for, I don't mean to keep tooting this horn, but I think one of my heroes right now is Riley Bear. Started his deputation right before COVID, did all of his deputation during COVID, and as COVID's coming to an end, more or less, is ready to go to England. How in the world did he do that? It's like, There were churches that didn't meet. There were churches that didn't invite. There were churches that cut back on their mission giving. And somehow, God used him to reach into churches, and he was able to, and he did not have any missionary agency to help him, except his local church and other churches to say, we'll help you. I think the blessing of God on him so much that I ask you, like, I don't know what he's doing, but let's give him a little more. Let's do more. We can do a little bit more. And we did a little bit more. But let's give more. Some things we need to do. Things we'd like to do. Some things that ought to be done. Sometimes I look back over the past year and see things that were done, and I forget about them. But I don't know if God's blessed you or not. I don't know if you'll get a refund or not. Some of you have already spent it. Some of you got it already, or however that works. I don't know. I don't ever get a refund. I meant to grumble about that for some minute. Somehow it is our goal is to break even. Doesn't always quite work out that way. How I end up owing money? Pay for your refund. I don't get it. I don't know how that works. But it would make my conscience feel a little better if you take a little bit of your refund and put it in the Lord's work. Then I wouldn't feel so bad about paying my taxes from April the 18th, midnight. That's when it's due, by the way, April the 18th. Don't ask me why, I have no idea. But I'm taking it for 3 days. Anyway. Let's give more. You say, I never cease to be amazed. I hope my wife won't mind me telling you this. She came the other day, she said, I'd like for us to do something, give some money to somebody. I said, no. I said, sure. How much do you want to give? And she told me amount, and I said, you feeling all right? No, she didn't. So we did it. And I don't know if it was a couple of days or 3 days later, the Lord sent her some money, more than double what that was. So as you leave today, I'm going to write each one of you a check. If I had a checkbook, but I'm thinking, is that the... They don't, oh, he's gone to health and wealth. He's gone to the prosperity gospel. I've just noticed over my life of giving, you just can't outgive the Lord. You just can't. You just say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. And my experience has been, the Lord says, well, that was really good there, little buckaroo. I'm going to give you this. And he always just, I shouldn't say always. Some of you get the wrong idea. And you'll think, all right, you'll think you've gone to Las Vegas or something. All right, come on, son. It's not gambling. Good grief. Pay attention. You just can't outgive the Lord. I can't think of a better place to put your investment. Oh, I know you need to take care of your family. I know you need to pay your light bill. I watch people lamenting their electric bill. I'm embarrassed to talk about my electric bill. I grumbled about my taxes. My light bill, my electric bill is so small. Of course, Kim washes her clothes outside and cooks over an open fire, but what's a little bit of a sacrifice? She walks to work and things like that, but it helps out. It's only 23 miles. And, she does lots of things, you know. She's got a black belt in shopping. She's taught me how to coupon. I sent her a text the other day. I said, I bought, I hope this is not too personal. I said, I bought kitty litter. We inherited a cat from our children. And I bought kitty litter. I said, I bought kitty litter at the Delhi Pet Center. And she wasn't impressed. I think that's one less chore you got to do. I saved 10%. I had a coupon. No, it's 20%. I still got the 10% coupon. I told her, I said, 20%. And she proverbially patted me on the head. But it's taken her a long time to teach me about coupons. Sometimes you have to remember. But I have a smartphone and it has a little coupon on it. You don't have to worry about the little piece of paper. Anyway, I love technology. Anyway, what was I talking about? Giving. I said, well, with the money you save, what could you do? Well, I could throw it in the basket back there. Our Sunday school class takes up 6 offerings. No, that's enough. It's, I wonder sometimes if people say, what's all this about back here? It's like, well, you've got your Sunday school offering, you've got your activities offering, you've got your mission offering, you've got your lottery ticket. No. We don't see that. It's like, I hope, what's all this? Well, it's just a way to remind us God's so good to us. We can give more. Budget year is coming up. Not really setting the budget higher. It's about the same. Stay there. That doesn't mean the giving has to stay the same. It could be more. We could give more. Somebody say, you know, I need to write a check today. We could give more. I know Ukrainian Christians who may need some help. We may be calling on you for some benevolence offerings. We'll find a way. Richard Mayer, our missionary, he'll know. Or Samaritan's Purse, they'll know. God will give us some, he'll tell us how to help. Let's give more. Let's gather more. Let's glorify God more. Let's go more. Let's give more. Nowhere in there does it say let's grieve more. Say, well, I've been pretty sad. I had some sad days last week, too. It's infuriating. I'm not a geopolitical expert by any means. I do read. I do love history. I watch the news. Oh, he's not going to invade. I know that he's got it. He's coming. Old Putin, he's staging. He's stacking the border. Every word that came out of his mouth was a lie. And sure enough, he invaded that country. I don't know why anybody would have been shocked when he did. I think that was his intention from the beginning. And now they're involved in a horrific war. People are dying. Good, godly people who love the Lord, their life is on the line. Their houses of worship, their facilities may be destroyed, maybe already been destroyed. And yet some of them are already making preparations. Okay, this is what Papa said. This is what happens when you have to worship God in a cave. This is what happens when you have to go underground. Here we sit in a land of milk and honey, a land of religious liberty, a land of open doors, and we can gather more. We can glorify God more. I doubt we can glorify God more than those Ukrainian Christians. I don't think we can glorify God more than they do. But we can go more than they can. And we very possibly could give more, although they're giving everything. Really hard to say how we could outgive the Ukrainian Christians who maybe sacrificed everything they have and still stand for Christ. We do these things. Show up when church time comes. Attend the special events. Attend the fellowship meetings. Get your picture for the directory. My mother wants you to do that. Kind of done for the directory. We've got new folk here. We need a new directory. Don't be a poster child for the Book of Numbers. Sign up and get your picture taken. You had to do it in school. Come on. Get your picture taken. It's not a beauty contest. I don't like my pictures either. No, but I'm going to get my picture. I've already signed up. Why? What's that got to do? Well, it's about fellowship. It's about bonding. It's about sharing. It's about drawing together. It's about gathering board, glorifying God. Can you help me? If you're here today and you do not know Christ, I can't tell you what an honor it is for me to spiritually bring John 3:16 right to you. Tell you, my greatest joy is to stand between the living and the dead to preach Christ to you. Would you turn and trust in Him? Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that you'll hear our cry of intercession for the Ukrainian Christians and churches. Think of that dear couple at the Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary. I don't know what's happening tonight on the ground there in the cities. I pray for the Ukrainians. But most of all, I pray for God's people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who maybe even right now stand between the living and the dead, physically, but oh, so more importantly, stand between the living and the dead spiritually. Hear our cry. Help us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing a